You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
It's that time yet again. Welcome back to Ravens Weekly for a new episode this week. My name is Matt Hall and I'm joined by Josh Tindall. As usual, Josh, you're buzzing to be here. Look at your fist pumping all over the place. How are you?
Good, Matt. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. All the better being in here doing this podcast with you, Josh. Let me just tell you that. We've got some big news to start off with. The feeling's clearly not mutual, by the way. We've got some big news to start off with, haven't we?
Yeah.
So, without further ado, we are delighted to confirm the new stadium sponsor for the Hayes Lane Stadium, and the new name is the Relocatum Community Stadium. Welcome to Relocatum, who are a fantastic business that are also supporting our women's team. They are the new stadium sponsors, and I personally love the fact that the name Community is inside that title, because that really does reflect, Josh, what goes on at this stadium. It's not simply a pitch that the first team play on a Saturday afternoon. So much more happens here, from, you know, our kids at 18 months right up to the first team and beyond that as well, with various other things that we're doing with Man v Fat and so on and so forth. It's incredible. A big welcome to Relocatum.
Yeah, now you touched on it there. I think the fact that it's highlighting everything rather than just the football, and yeah, obviously it's important to you and the rest of the community trust that that is in the name, and it should be, because we are a community club. We host so many community activities that why not? It should be called the Community Stadium. And you mentioned earlier about Bromley Women as well. They're going to be the front of shirt sponsors for Bromley Women, which will help them out. And, you know, it just shows that the new stadium sponsors aren't here to just, you know, change the branding of the stadium and sort of change the name of the stadium, but they're here to get on board with the community, Bromley Women, all branches of the club, which they said that when they were showing around, that that's what they want to do. And really, the sort of football side of it was only a small percentage in their focus going forward.
Absolutely, Josh. Yeah, couldn't have said it any better myself. And it was brilliant to meet the team from Relocatum. They really had a genuine excitement, like you say there, Josh, walking around the place and taking in the facilities and seeing what we had to offer here. And I think this is a partnership that is really going to go very, very far. They've already talked very openly about wanting to extend this partnership and grow it in the years to come. It's a long-term thing, and we're delighted to welcome Relocatum on board. So, with that in mind, we caught up with Trevor from Relocatum, as well as Head of Partnership and Sponsorship at Bromley Football Club, Mick Livesey. Here's what they had to say. Mick Livesey, a very, very exciting piece of commercial news coming out today. We have a new stadium sponsor. The new name of this stadium is the Relocatum Community Stadium. It's absolutely fantastic news, isn't it?
I'm absolutely thrilled. I think when I first came to the football club, Robbie set several challenges, our chairman, and one of them was to get a stadium sponsor. We've managed to do that and see all the branding going up, all the sign-offs happening, getting ready for that first home match, the TV cameras rolling, the new TNT show, and listen, they're going to be welcome to the Relocatum Community Stadium.
And viewers will be able to see the various bits of branding going on around the stadium. There's more to come as well. Yeah, it all looks fantastic, doesn't it?
Yeah, listen, we're going to have a plinth, you're going to pick a ball up, and we're going to have a centre circle, little bit still to happen, things to happen. Hopefully 95% of it will be done for the first one. As you can see, the stadium, as you drive in the stadium, you'll see the changes on the way in, on the outside of the stadium, but also inside. Massive impact, the branding is fantastic. I can't thank the guys at Relocatum enough for their support. Listen, this isn't just a yearly project, we're looking to work together for a very, very long time. It's a huge deal, huge financial deal. It's massive for everybody concerned, and so proud you know, and shake this man's hand. So, so proud to get this over the line and build a super exciting relationship between Bromley and relocate them. And we play all our matches now at the relocate them community stadium.
And when we spoke to Trevor, it was made very clear that the community element of that name was very important and reflected the ethos of both organisations.
Well, every time you come into Bromley, my desk is over there. I look over my desk and I see Matt and the community and all those guys. There's no danger of me ever forgetting how important the community is. With Mr. Community himself, Matt Hall, who reminds me on a daily basis how many children we're working with. We're working with about 1,200 children a week now, which is phenomenal. Seeing all the soccer camps, all the little things happening, I love. One of my favourite projects at this football club is the Mini Ravens. I absolutely love it. And they're going to be playing here, at the new stadium name. It's fantastic. You know, we really do work with everybody. We have 18-month-old toddlers in the Mini Ravens. We have people in the 90s in the Ravens chat. When we say we cater for all, we really do cater for all. And that's not no mean feat down to the community. What you do, Matt, what Andrea, Alex, George and all the other staff, countless, too many, I can't name them all, that all do for the community is phenomenal.
And that name actually highlights the very purpose of this stadium and why this pitch that we've stood on now was put into place. The amount of usage it gets throughout the week really benefiting this borough, which is the biggest in London.
Yeah, listen, let's not forget it, we're a London football club. We operate in the largest borough in London. We're proud of it. And listen, I'll be happy when we lift this pitch up one day and replace it with grass, because that'll mean one thing. It'll mean we've got out of this league and we've been promoted. So I can't wait for it to turn into grass, but we've got more pitches at the back. And you know, listen, I was saying to the guys, you know, we welcome now over 250,000 visitors, and we will welcome them to the Relocate 'em Community Stadium.
And the support from Relocate 'em hasn't stopped there. They also front of shirt sponsors for the Bromley women's team, a fantastic show of support as well.
They are, and I think, listen, Trevor and the guy said to me, listen, we want to do the stadium, of course we do, we want to have that massive but who can we really help? What can we do to help? And, you know, I was struggling, you know, to get a sponsor for the women's team, and a guy stepped up and said, listen, let's do that. Let's be the front of shirt sponsor for the women's team. Let's help the women's team grow. They've already asked me, when are the fixtures for the women's team coming out? They want to come to games, they want to meet older women, you know, they want to get involved, they want signed shirts off the women and all of that. And listen, these guys I know quite well, especially Ricky, you know, these guys, you know, we'll drive this. This is only the start, and we will be doing a lot of things together. They've already, you know, met Andy Woodman, our manager, this morning, and you know, super, super excited for the season, for the men and the women, and everything that it goes on at this stadium, Matt. It really is a very, very proud moment, a very, very special day, and a great commercial deal for all parties.
So, Trevor, Relocate 'em are the new sponsors of the stadium that we're in right now. It's a very, very exciting time, isn't it?
Yeah, look, we're very excited. You know, we're all about the community and how we can help. And, you know, we just wanted to be part of the Bromley journey and see how far we can get with them.
And it is going to be the Relocate Community Stadium. And that word community, it's very important to both organisations, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, people often think about a football club as just a football club, where there's actually the people behind it, and we want to support those people, you know, all the way from the toddlers as well as the women's team.
And we can see the branding around the stadium now, which looks absolutely fantastic. Could you give us a background on Relocate 'em as a company?
Yeah, look, Relocate is a very simple company. So we are property investors, giving them a complete hands-off investment. So they invest with us with certain criteria that they, you know, invest with, and then we give them a monthly return for 5 years.
And yourselves have all been down here quite a few times now. You've had the tours with Mick. What's your impression of the facilities and everything that's going on here?
Yeah, look, it's a really good stadium, hey, for the league that it's in. I mean, you know, we're very excited to see the journey.
We can't wait
to see the journey and how it unfolds. And, you know, we want to be with you guys from day one to the end.
And it's a fantastic partnership. There's a lot of potential in it. You're not only the stadium sponsors, you are also sponsoring the front of the women's shirts, which, again, reflects that community ethos.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, we had a discussion internally. We were like, supporting the men's team is great, but, you know, let's support the women's team, because the women's team is going to become the next big thing in football. You know, everyone's pushing towards the women's team now. And we want to be, you know, front-running with them from the beginning, so that when they explode, which they will, we're right there next to them.
And you're obviously well aware of the team's successes last season in the past couple of years. It's sure to be a big season ahead this year, and I think it's safe to say you guys are all very excited about supporting the team on the pitch as well.
Yeah, look, we'll be here for most of the games. So we'll be cheering your guys on, making sure that we're supporting. And, you know, we're always available if anyone wants to talk to us during the game, off pitch, on pitch, whenever.
And how can people get in touch if they're interested in your services?
Well, it's easy. Just come to our website. We'll have brochures lying around for you guys here during stadium days. You can speak to anyone on the team at Bromley. They'll give you their details.
Also, we're going to be here all the time, so just come and see us. Your friendly faces.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time and welcome on board.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So, as we've been saying, great news to have Relocatum on board and to be able to welcome everybody as of today to the Relocatum Community Stadium.
And they also said they want to be on the podcast exclusively. Obviously, it was in discussion before and we decided to do a video interview, you know, show off their branding and stuff, which you can see on our YouTube social media channels. And yeah, they were really keen on coming on here and, you know, talking about what they do, what their ambitions are for the club. So that should be interesting.
Absolutely. And look forward to having Trevor and the team on in the coming weeks. Very much looking forward to that. Moving on then to first team matters and the start of the National League season for the 2023-24 season. And that, of course, saw Bromley make the rather long trip to Yorkshire to take on FC Halifax Town, which typically hasn't been a happy hunting ground for the Ravens. That being in search of points or in search of actually playing a fixture, as we've seen a few times over the years, especially I can think back. I think it was last season, turning up and 45 minutes before kickoff, the game suddenly being called off out of nowhere, which was a bit of a shock and a bit of a wasted day for us all, and a lot of wasted money, particularly for the supporters as well, which was disappointing. However, pristine pitch, could not complain about that whatsoever this time. First game of the season, and it was an absolute carpet of a surface. Really good following from the Bromley supporters as well. And that includes, which we'll touch on later, a coach laid on by David and Holly Norris. We'll talk about that later with Roy Oliver. And a big thank you to them for doing what they did. Again, we'll come on to that a bit more later on in this podcast. We had a couple of debutants in the team. We had even more injuries. But let's start with the debutants. And that was Chin Okoli and Teddy Sharman-Lowe, Josh.
Yeah, it was good to see a couple of the new lads get run out. And obviously it wasn't the result that we wanted, but a lot to learn from the game. And I think had there not been injuries, maybe certain players wouldn't have been playing in that game. Obviously, Andy's the only one that knows that. But yeah, I think with the resources we had, you sort of just got to get on with it. And, you know, at some points we played all right, but overall Halifax deserve winners.
I think so, Josh. Yeah, I think I can agree with that. Obviously, good for these players to come into the side. I don't think it was our finest hour on Saturday. The first half was pretty good. Unfortunately, the second half, we just couldn't match the level that we showed in the first half. And I think that's where the injuries started to show, really. And a number of key players out for differing reasons, including Josh Pasley, of course, who's been one of the standouts in pre-season. He was serving a suspension for cautions, etc., picked up at having a Waterlooville last season, and a number of others as well. I'm not going to go through them all, but yeah, a lot of key players missing on the day, which obviously didn't help. James Vennings, yeah, we were just going to come on to that. Unfortunately, I think that summed up the afternoon, didn't it, really, when James Vennings made a bursting run into the Halifax half and pulled up with what didn't look like a very pleasant injury. None of them are pleasant, but you know what I'm saying.
It's one of those where as soon as you saw it happen, you knew that...
Your heart drops. Yeah.
That was it. Especially because Venno isn't the type to, you know, sort of go down easy and whatever, so...
No, he's a tough cookie, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Yeah, disappointing, but anyway, we hope that more bodies are back and readily available to Andy this week. That also meant Kasper Orlowski was on the bench, as Grant Smith was one of the other players out with a slight knock, and that's a brilliant experience for him at 17 years of age. Of course, he came in during pre-season and played that doubleheader, didn't he? Bromley versus Millwall, the under-21s in the morning, and then the first team in the afternoon after Teddy Sharman-Lowe picked up that injury in the first half, playing vast majority of the game that day, so congratulations to him. Of course, Byron Webster was on the bench that day, so Callum Reynolds was the skipper on the afternoon. And we didn't really pick up on it on the commentary. It completely went over my head at the time. But a significant amount of injury time. And now, Josh, it's obvious why.
Yeah, no, there's a new rule coming into English football. And I'm not going to lie, I didn't realise it was filtering down to the National League. I thought it was just a Premier League Football League thing. But yeah, so I think they're clamping down on time wasting. And I think they said that they sort of put a number towards, like, if the goal scored or a substitution, I think they just add on a minute. So, yeah, I think now they're doing the exact timings or close to. But, yeah, it's going to be a fitness test, especially for teams like us that, you know, haven't had the best of starts with injuries. And, yeah, it's going to be weird, isn't it?
And for the part-time teams in this division.
So playing an extra, I don't know, some teams had 12 minutes added on, and it's just, I'm not ready for it, but, you know, I'm not the one running around out there. But, yeah, I think once players start picking up these injuries because of it, they may have to rethink it.
You're not running around out there, but could you? Were you any decent at football? Were you any good?
Matt, I wouldn't be sat here with you. I'd be getting ready for Barnet at home.
You'd be playing for Bromley, definitely.
Yeah, I would.
Your heart would bring you here.
I'd be left back in the changing rooms.
Very good, very good. Moving on to some positives after that one. And we'll talk to Andy Woodman about this later on in the podcast. But we had a lovely surprise in the form of Kellen Fisher, we spoke about last week, being given a squad number 35 for Norwich City in the first team, having impressed David Wagner in pre-season, and he was actually named in the matchday squad on the substitutes bench for their 2-1, dramatic 2-1 victory over Hull City, which came in the form of a 92nd minute winner. And although Kellen didn't make it on to the pitch during the game, it's a brilliant experience for him to be involved on a matchday, and I don't think it'll be long before he does, Josh.
No, I mean, watching Kellen week in, week out last season, we were not too surprised, but I think with sort of the amount of players that Football League clubs or Championship and higher take a chance on, whether they're young players or players from non-league, and Kellen's both, and, you know, I presume that he'd probably start on the bench in the Carabao Cup, sort of ease in that way, but I think he's knuckled down over pre-season, impressed, and then he's got his reward, which is a place on the bench in the Championship. So
absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And we talk time and time again about not only his footballing ability, but his attitude and the way he comes across as a person, a very humble, down-to-earth person who works hard on and off the pitch. He paid a lot of attention to his studies while he was playing in the first team here as well. It's just brilliant to see. He's just the all-round top professional, especially at such a young age as well. So good luck to Kellen for the rest of the season, and I know we'll be keeping tabs on how he's getting on as well. Now, we've got a special guest, haven't we, on the podcast?
We have.
And he's someone who Bromley fans will recognise, having spent a brief time here as a player and has now joined the coaching lineup in the academy, and that is one Scott Wagstaff. Brilliant to have him back, isn't it?
Really good, and I know he's buzzing as well. We were speaking to him before we caught up with him, and he's really excited to get going. I think he's adjusting slightly to, you know, not having that player schedule and, you know, getting in earlier, finishing later. And obviously the majority of his life he's been a footballer. So
it's the coach life now.
Yeah. So now he's adapting to something new, and yeah, he's really enjoying it. And you'd mentioned Kellen there, and I think that's one of his sort of goals, is to keep, you know, growing these young players. And he said himself, he was like, we need to make sure these lads have careers, and that's his focus. And he said that that's Luke Coulson's focus as well, and using them two as the example of, this is what we've done. Obviously, Scott's won promotions, made countless appearances for Charlton, played in the FA Cup against West Ham. Like, he's a good example to follow for, you know, a young 16, 17-year-old.
Absolutely, Josh, absolutely. And it's great to have him back on board. And as you touch on there, Luke Coulson, working very closely with him as well. So two former Bromley players and two very well-established professional footballers. It's a great a pair of role models for these young players to look up to.
And Luke has actually got a promotion because he was under-17s manager or head coach last season. But because he's done so well in his first season with us as a coach, they've bumped him up to under-18s now.
Absolutely brilliant. So, well done to Luke.
Brilliant.
But you and I sat down with Scott Wagstaff earlier on for a little in conversation, and here it is.
A little chin wag.
Scott Wagstaff, welcome back to Bromley. You're now our under-17s head coach. How does it feel to be back?
Yeah, it's been brilliant. It's obviously been a bit of a whirlwind the last couple of weeks that I've been in, but I've really, really enjoyed it, thoroughly enjoyed it, and seen a different side to obviously the playing side is totally different from the coaching side, like we were talking about earlier. There's a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes, which I never realised as a player. I don't think you do until you're sort of in it. But no, I've really, really enjoyed it, and hopefully we can have a good start to obviously my coaching career.
And you've been doing the role for about 1 or 2 weeks now. How have you found settling back into the environment?
Yeah, it's been easy, to be honest with you, because the people in the office, you've got Christine, Tom, Kors, Jamal, Roan, Max, they've been brilliant with me, made me really settle in really, really well and really quick. So it's a great atmosphere in there, and it helps when you've had a bad session or something like that, you can go have a chat with everyone and it gets you back in a good mood again. So it's been really good. It's been really, really good, and I've really, really enjoyed it so far.
And you were speaking off air about sort of how busy the role's been so far. Could you give a brief overview on your sort of day-to-day role?
Well, it's getting in nice and early. I've not been used to this. I think as a player, you sort of turn up bang on the time, which is a little bit later than what I've been getting in. But you'll be prepping for the session. We're starting at 8:30 with the new intakes of the 17s. So that's a couple of hours of work in the morning, and then we'd have a little break in between, then we'll go back in again at 12:30 till 2:30 with the second intakes of the 17s. So we'll have them, and then after that you sort of analyse the sessions, and me and Kors will sit down and work through trying to sort out what sort of teams we're going to be putting lads into, the categories where we're going to put them. But the standard's been very, very high, so we've been lucky with what we had so far. So it's been a good start to coaching life.
You've had a great career as a player, and you're still enjoying playing now. We'll come on to that in a moment. You had a brief spell here as a player. How do you reflect on that time?
Yeah, I had a brief spell. I think at the time it was the right move for me to come here, and obviously wanted to play for the gaffer, which I had as a coach when I was at Cheltenham. So that made it obviously easier for me to come in and settle in. I think playing wise, it was difficult for me. I felt like I didn't get my fitness wasn't great. When I come in, I was obviously come in, played, and then I got injured, and it was a sort of stop-start sort of time for me here, which was frustrating. And I think me and the gaffer have spoke about that before, and it's obviously it was frustrating because I wanted to make it work, but I don't think it did in the end. But I love my time here. I really, really love my time here. Met some great people, and obviously stayed in touch with a lot of people here, which is obviously one of the reasons why I'm in now coaching the 17s.
I was going to say that you were here as a player, and now you're here on the other side. So you've had quite a unique journey, I guess, similar to Luke Coulson as well, who's also gone through that, and Jack Holland, to name another one.
Yeah, of course. I think you could tell straight away when he was a player with Coulson, you could tell he was one of them. He's so methodical about everything he does. He's, the amount of notes he takes, everything, you could just tell he was going to be a coach. And he's been brilliant with me. He's helped me massively since I've come in, and he's a joy to work with. So yeah, I've really enjoyed it working with Cole so far. And obviously Sinjak as well. He's a good lad.
It's good to have you all around for sure. And talking back about your playing time here, obviously you were cup tied when you joined us, which meant gutting. You couldn't be involved in the FA Trophy run and the final. It must have been, in a way, painful to watch it from the side, but a great moment for your fellow teammates and obviously for the club.
Yeah, it was frustrating. I think I only played about 40, 50 minutes in the game. obviously the one that cup-tied me as well, which is frustrating. And then that was obviously another reason why I was in and out as well, because the boys got a good run and it was difficult to obviously try and break back in. But like you said, I think I was never bitter towards it. I wanted the boys to do well. And like you say, it's a great day out. I've had that when I was at Bristol. I managed to go to Wembley and have a winning cup run there as well. So I get what it's like and I understand it. And I'm buzzing that the boys managed to do that and obviously got the win against probably being the underdogs as well. It's a great achievement. And they obviously had a good day out and a good night out afterwards.
And you mentioned Luke Coulson before. He was under-17s manager last season. Has it helped you having your former teammate do the job that you're doing now? Has he sort of helped you settle in?
Yeah, massively. He's been brilliant. He's literally just taken me under his wing. Whenever I've needed anything, it'd be when we finish here, he might text me at night saying we need to do this, and it's just helped me massively. If I didn't have him, it might have been a tougher process. But he's been brilliant. His organisation and everything else has been really, really good. And yeah, I feel like we've started off and we're quite a good little team at the minute. And we've actually got a game against his 18, so I don't actually get him in the next game, so it's going to be interesting to see how I do on my own. But he's been really good with me. He's been brilliant, and yeah, obviously thank all the help so far that he's given me.
And if your schedule wasn't busy enough, you're also carrying on your footballing career at Tunbridge Angels. You're captain as well. How's that been going?
Yeah, really good. Last season was brilliant for me. Managed to stay fit for the whole season. That was massive. I just wanted to have a season where I just stay fit, play games, enjoy myself. Because at the stage I'm at now, 33, I just want to play as many games as I can and enjoy myself. And that was perfect for me. Tunbridge is not far from where I live. And obviously it's part-time as well. So the transition of going from full-time football into part-time football was tough. It was tough at the start, but I was at the right club to do it. And now I can figure out what sort of pathway I want to go and obviously Bromley come up. And that's the sort of route that I've taken so far. So it's been good for me. It's been good for me and I'm really enjoying it down there. So hopefully we can have a nice productive season again.
Do you look at your own game differently now that you're a coach? And do you assess when you're playing in a match for Tunbridge, do you assess it differently to how you would have done previously?
I think so. I think especially when you get older as well, I think the more experience you get, you can sort of figure out certain situations on the pitch a little bit better. And positionally, especially if I'm playing in the middle, I can see a lot more. But when I was out wide, it's a bit difficult. You're sort of out of the way a little bit. But when you're in the middle, you can sort of organise. You can get your right back in, your right winger in, your left winger in and sort of be a lot more vocal in that midfield. But yeah, I think it does help. It definitely helps sort of formations as well, looking at where players are running into and how they're moving around and sort of switching onto that a lot quicker than maybe I had been before obviously taking this role and obviously starting my coaching, doing a bit of coaching last year as well. So it definitely has helped. I think it's been good to sort of have that experience as well.
I was just going to say, is it difficult to kind of snap out coach mode? But obviously as a captain, you're kind of doing that on the pitch as well, aren't you, I guess?
Yeah, I think it's on and off the pitch. I think it's a big... You've got to obviously do a lot more off the pitch with the boys, sort of sorting out all the fines and stuff like that and team nights out and everything else, just getting people in check and making sure that they're disciplined with timings and everything else, because obviously the gaffer doesn't want to get involved in all of that. He wants sort of us to manage that ourselves and obviously I've taken that on board with a couple of other lads. So it definitely has made a difference, obviously off the pitch as well as on the pitch.
As a coach here in the Bromley FC Academy, what are your aims for the season?
Just obviously get the experience of coaching. It's not everything's going to go well. I totally get it. I understand that. I think when I first wanted to start coaching, I think I just want everything to go right straight away. But I'm speaking to Jamal and Kors as well. They're like, it doesn't always go right. So it's one of them. Don't get frustrated if you put a session on and it's not great. Do you know what I mean? The balls are going everywhere, stuff like that. You've just got to make sure you manage it and learn from it and analyse it afterwards and stuff like that. But I think the main achievement for us is obviously to be bringing players through to the first team. I think that's the ultimate goal. You want to be pushing the young lads through to the first team. Obviously, I had that when I was at Charlton as a young lad. I managed to break through from the under-8s into the first team. So you want to have that pathway. And I think looking obviously at Kellen's story, and obviously you've got Ben in the first team now, you've got a few other lads in there. there's a chance there for the boys, and obviously that's what we'll be reiterating to them all the time. And I think that's what me and Coulson have been doing since I've come in, trying to speak to the young lads, sort of say, listen, if you really want it, there's a chance there for you. Obviously the first team staff, the manager, they're going to give you a chance if you're good enough. So it's just sort of them having that drive in their heads and attitude to want to be a footballer. And that's obviously what we want to do in the end. We want the players to go and achieve what me and Coulson have managed to have, football careers in the game. So yeah, it's the best career. It's the best career. Like I said, I was saying to the lads, saying you're in 9 o'clock, done by two. Do you know what I mean? It's a great life doing something that you enjoy. So hopefully they can sort of take the little experiences that me and Luke have had and take them on board, and hopefully they can enjoy it on the way as well.
I remember a particular session that you came to when you were a player here at local school, and you were doing a bit of coaching, a bit of chatting to the kids, etc. And you said how much you enjoyed it afterwards. Has coaching throughout your career always been that kind of next step post-footballing career or towards part-time football? Has that always been kind of what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's obviously, it come a little bit quick for me coming out of the full-time side. I still thought, I always had in my head, I was going to play till 35, like full-time football, I'll be playing to 35. Obviously, COVID happened, other situations happened, and it was a lot more difficult for me to find clubs. I think when you're a bit older, clubs might not want you as much. They want the younger players, ones that can stay fit every week, things like that. So the situation changed. But I think for me, I always had in my head, because all I've ever known is football. So I had in my head, I want to stay in the football side of it. And I've obviously really enjoyed the coaching side of it as well. And seeing players develop, I think that's the exciting thing. I think that's what you want to do. You want to sort of be on someone else's journey as well, because I've had mine. So it'll be nice to sort of help the other younger lads have a journey in football as well. And hopefully that it sort of come from us as coaches, and they've learned taking little things off us. That's obviously something that we'll be proud of as coaches. But yeah, it's definitely something I've looked into, and I'm on my B licence as well at the minute. So I'm taking my badges, which helps at the time, because there's certain things that you look at, you think, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know this is how much detail goes into your preparation for the planning of the session. I just thought, literally, just turn up, bam, chuck something on. But the amount of detail and analysis, everything, it's top. It's really gone to another level now. So obviously that's why I've had to do a lot more work behind the scenes, a lot more writing, which I haven't been used to, which has been good fun. But yeah, no, I've really enjoyed it so far, and got a good energy about it, and I'm really looking forward to the future.
Well, it's so great to see you around the place again, a great character to have around. And just finally, you came back in here and you like our new podcast setup, don't you?
Really, really good. Really good. I said I didn't want to bring my drink over here and knock it all over it and have to pay. I don't know how much. I don't want to ask, but it looks a lot of money. It's a great setup. The whole club is one of the things that attracted me as well to coming back in. Tom and Hamo both showed me around, and you can tell straight away it's just such a great setup, and it's a club definitely going in the right direction. So it's definitely exciting times for Bromley fans and Bromley players as well.
Well, Scott, like I said, it's great to have you back. Thank you so much for joining us today and for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to Scott for his time. It was brilliant to sit down and catch up with him, just like old times. Moving on then to the Bromley women. They were back in action at the Relocatum Community Stadium the Sunday just gone. Unfortunately, it was a 3-1 defeat for them on the afternoon as Acorns came away victors in that one. But the squad still very much being built with the Bromley women. Dave Poynting and Steve Payne have done a great job over the past 10 years. And I've no doubt they will carry on doing that this season. Hopefully an exciting season for the women. And don't forget, club members, you can catch all of their fixtures here at the Relocatum Community Stadium for free as part of your membership package. Moving on. Community Corner.
Do-do-do. Yeah, sorry, Matt. Just, you know, the button's over there and I'm over here. I didn't want to reach it.
Lazy.
Plus, I think we overdid it.
Lazy. For one. What, you did overdid it with your jingle, you mean?
No, previously. I think we should keep that in last season. The little community jingle. I think we need a unique community jingle and not a little chimes.
Are there any jingle writers in the audience? We've already... Mm. Had one, can we get a better one?
Yeah.
There are various parts of this podcast which need jingles, I feel. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk about that more later. But it is Community Corner, and it's been a very busy couple of weeks of the summer holiday so far. We've got our summer soccer camps going on. You can still book your children's place on that if you wish. BromleyFC.org is the place to go. There are limited spaces remaining for the rest of the summer. It's been hugely popular, and we don't have very many spaces left. So if you are looking for your child to attend, do book the place as soon as possible. And it's been great to see the first team players go up to visit the kids and have a little kick around and interact and sort of coach some of the sessions as well. It's a unique opportunity for these kids to meet the professional players as well. We had a couple go out to speak to them earlier today as well, which is always great to see and always much appreciated. This coming Saturday, we've got our usual Saturday morning soccer school preceded by Mini Ravens, which is our new project for 18-month-olds up to 4-year-olds to learn or to begin to learn the art of football and ball skills, etc., so on and so forth. It's great fun. Bring your young one down to either that or Saturday soccer school if they're into their football. Moving on to something community related as well. And it's our weekly resident guest. Can you say resident guest? Does that make sense? Is that a contradiction?
No, I don't know.
He's always here, but he's a guest. Yeah. But he's an absolute first-class legend. There is not a single person in this club that doesn't know who he is. We bow down to him as he comes in. We stand as he walks into the media room. It can only be Roy Oliver. Now, here is the next segment of the podcast and another very special one, and one I feel that needs its own jingle. So if we've got any jingle writers in the audience, I sound like I'm at the theatre, don't I? The theatre. The Phantom of the Opera.
Pleasure. Yeah, yeah.
Roy Oliver is here.
Roy Oliver is here.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever been to see that? Phantom
no,
of the Opera?
I haven't.
Oh, it's brilliant. I took Linda to see there a few years ago.
Oh, bless.
Yeah. And I'd always do what I always do. I would never tell her where I'm taking her. So it'd be a total surprise if it was the theatre, a cinema, show, whatever we went to, it would be a surprise. So we went up London, we went out a meal, it was her choice, Pizza Hut, steakhouse, Chinese, whatever. So we went for the Pizza Hut, right? And then we were walking around and I'm going, I think I'm lost. And I'd always do this trick. And we're standing right outside the theatre where Phantom of the Opera is on.
Wow,
and then
brilliant.
I said, I think I lost. She said, we just asked someone. I said, we can ask, we'll turn around and we'll ask someone. And she turned around and she said, you're platching again, aren't you? So, yeah.
I'm going to start doing that, right?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, you know, especially if you're on a horse or you're taking out a lady on a date, don't tell her where you're taking her. To cinema, theatre, show, whatever.
Bromley away game.
Bromley away.
Kidderminster away.
Yeah.
It's the perfect day.
Yeah. I think Linda might have said, no, not for that one. I used to have hamburgers and hot dogs down here years ago.
Oh, wow.
In the old club room, nice. Which she built an extra kitchen onto. So she used to do it with Carol Tidman. So, yeah. And I helped out at half time because I was doing, like, in the end days, we was due jackpot tickets, 5 for 10p, tuppence each.
Is there anything you haven't done, Roy? Now, this is obviously one of our favourite segments of the podcast. Just before you tell us what you've got in store this week in terms of your history corner, if you like, we had another very special guest and another member of Ravens Chat and another person who has been supporting Bromley for an obscene amount of time. And that is, of course, Barry Evans. Now, Barry is someone that is much loved by all of us here at the football club. But just what does Barry mean to you and everybody else connected with Ravens Chat?
I think he's a gentleman. He always comes beautiful dressed. He's got a shirt and tie on every time he arrives at his ground. And he's so well known around the club, like, and he's a pure gentleman to everybody, and everybody treats him with respect. And we're going to sorely miss him. I know we're going to see him from time to time. We said we're going to get a Spitfire to bring him up to up the Biggin Hill, then we can get him a taxi down to Bromley. So, but yeah, he's a much loved person down at Bromley, and we'll be sorely missed most weeks. But he's going to be on the podcast. I think they're going to do a relay towards to him down in Cornwall. So we'll still see his good-looking face.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. He's not going forever. He will be coming back. But Barry, for those of you that don't know, has been supporting Bromley, I think it's around 70 years, isn't it? I think it might be a little bit more than that.
45, 46 season he was.
Wow.
He first came down here.
That's incredible. So he's moving to Cornwall and he's coming to the Barnet game on Saturday. And that is his final game as a resident of the area before he moves away. And he's actually moving on the same day that we play Wealdstone, Tuesday the 15th of August. So, Barry, all the best. Don't be a stranger. He said he is going to fly back up here. And I don't have any doubt that he'll do that very soon. But just clear to see, I think, from all of the sentiments that you've seen around the football club ever since the news of Barry's move came out. He's a much loved person, as you say, across the club, you know, from the players to yourselves to the staff behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Barry, wish you all the best. You're a true gentleman and we can't wait to see you again.
Absolutely.
Now, Roy, the reason you're here with us today is, of course, Roy Remembers. What have you got in store for us today? Floor's yours.
Today, I've got, it's from 1912 and it's a six-a-side tournament. And this was... I'll read the first couple of lines here. It says, despite the official notice of the Football Association that the six-a-side tournament arranged by the Kent Football Association must not take place, they did play it. So even with the Football Association, they still went ahead with it. And it was played down at Chatham, and they played on three pitches, and... the pitches were 70 yards long and 40 yards wide. The middle pitch, which the senior teams, there was 9 senior entries for the seniors and 20 for the juniors. And it was 10 minutes each way, and if it was a draw, then there would be an extra 3 minutes each way. And the scoring went that if you scored a goal, you got 4 points. If you got a corner, you got 1 point. And the penalty area wasn't like the 18-yard box. It was a line right across the pitch, so you could be offside in that area. So it was the offside area from one side to the other side.
So just checking, this is a football tournament, right?
Yes, yeah.
This is bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I've never heard of anything like this.
Yeah. And, so in the first round, we played... we got a bye, actually, because it was 19. In the second round, we played Sitting Bull's second team, and we won 13-0. So we scored 3 goals on a corner.
I was going to say, what's the makeup of that 13? Yeah. It wasn't all goals, was it? Corners, free kicks, throw-ins?
If you get a corner, do you celebrate it like a goal?
Oh, that's a really good question. Yeah. I'd love to have seen this. Yeah. I reckon we should recreate this, you know.
Imagine like the Obafemi Martins backflip.
Yeah.
The ball went out for a corner.
Well, we'll have to get the FA's permission, though.
Yeah. And in the second round, we played, in the semi-final, we played Rochester. And we won by 12 goals to 4. And in the final, we played the Sitting Bull first team. And at halftime, we were losing 8-0. But we came back to win 16-8 in the second half.
Roy, this is sounding like a rugby tournament here.
I know it is, yeah. But there was a very good crowd there that watched it. But as I say, it wasn't given endorsement by the Football Association at that place.
Oh, dear.
But, and the junior team, Chatham Amateurs, beat Strood second team 9-3.
Lots of points. Well, I want to say lots of goals, but really it's not lots of goals, is it? It's lots of points.
Lots of points, yes.
Yeah, which makes it sound even more like rugby.
I know, You get four you get 4 points for a goal, 1 for a corner. So, it's a brilliant, considering the Football Association didn't want it to take place.
Wow, I'm lost for words. That's one of your best ones, I think. Yeah, Roy, that was really interesting. Yeah. Just before we finish, Roy, obviously disappointment last week away to Halifax. You were there, but looking to bounce back. We've got 2 home games on the spin now. It's important that everybody gets behind the team, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. Home games are so important. They always say, you win your home games, you're okay. And whatever points you pick up away from are a bonus. A little bit disappointing last week. I know we carried a few injuries into the game and certain players couldn't play, Louis Dennis and one of the new guys who was suspended anyway for two games. But I thought we had the early chances to score because I didn't think there was a lot between the teams, really. Basically, two goals, really.
That was it. It's just the second half, wasn't it?
Yeah, the second half, yes. Yeah, yeah. So we've got to be right behind the team at home to Barnet and at home to Willstone on Tuesday night. So everybody out there, get behind the team, cheer them on and say, suck that goal into the Bromley goal to win.
And an actual goal, not a corner.
Yeah, not a corner. Not a point.
Yeah.
Hope for three. Well,
can't we, if we score a goal, can't we get 4 points for it?
But not for the opposition.
Yeah, not for the opposition. No, they only get one.
One thing I have to shout out, or I want to shout out on the podcast today, Roy, yourself, me, and a few others went up on the supporters coach, which was organised by David and Holly Norris.
Yeah.
So big thank you to David and Holly. It was a real success. A lot of people opting to come up to the game, and a fairly good number on the coach as well. So well done to those two. And a big thank you as well. And the good news is that they'll be running some coaches for future away games. If you'd like more information or if you'd like to book a place, you can email Holly directly via hollynorris98@live.co.uk. And yeah, it was a nice atmosphere, wasn't it, on the coach?
It was a very nice atmosphere, yeah. Everyone had a good time. You know, we don't sulk it when we lose, you know. And it's a good atmosphere, you know. People singing and, really enjoy themselves.
And standing to attention when you call out, quiet please, everyone's attention.
Yes. Yeah. Because, I mean, all due to... Holly and
David,
yes, yeah. You know, for getting this going, because otherwise we'd have been completely stumped. Although I had a couple of ideas up my sleeve.
You were going to cycle there?
No, I had a meal float.
Can you imagine that on the motorway?
Yeah, I was going to leave 3 days before.
Yeah. Oh, Roy, it's always such a pleasure to catch up with you. Thank you for joining us once again. Enjoy the games on Saturday and Tuesday, and we look forward to being back with you next week.
And as you both mentioned there, Matt, Barry Evans is also on the podcast in our community corner.
Barry Evans, what a gentleman. And I mean that in every sense of the word. He's such a pleasant character, so smartly dressed, impeccable every single time. Gives a brilliant handshake, by the way, as well. No half-hearted stuff.
Firm,
but fair. And he's just an absolute gent. I can't think of a better word to describe him than a gentleman. And he has been supporting Bromley, I think, 77 years, wasn't it? Mm. Which is absolutely incredible. And he is moving down to Cornwall next week, which will mean he won't be able to make quite as frequent use of his season ticket as he has been living where he does now in the borough. And we're really going to miss him. He's a member of our Ravens chat group as well from our community trust. He's been supporting the club, as I've said, for such a long time now, and was in Bromley High Street when the 1949 FA Amateur Cup winners paraded the trophy down the high street on the open-top bus. And look, we wish him all the best. And we know he's going to be flying back and forth every now and then to watch the team. But Josh, you had the absolute privilege, I'll call it, of sitting down with Barry earlier to catch up.
I did, yeah.
Here's how it went down.
Barry, thank you for joining us on the podcast today. As many fans will know, you're moving away to Cornwall.
We are, yeah.
But you've been a fan for, what was it, 70?
7 years.
Wow. You're definitely a long-term fan. Could you describe your best memories of supporting Bromley?
Oh, crikey. Well, obviously, when Bromley won the FA Amateur Cup in 1949 season, unfortunately, I wasn't allowed to go because I was 8 years old. But my grandfather, who was the original family member, and he was the first generation. My mother was second, I was the third, and my son is the fourth, of course. because I was only eight, my mother obviously went with my grandfather to Wembley, and I was allowed to go into the High Street after the game, of course, and wait for the coach to come back down the High Street. And that was absolutely amazing. There was so many people there. I mean, and I did wonder, because I saw a photograph in the clubhouse here somewhere, and looked at it, and I thought, oh, yeah, that's me. And there I was with my little school cap on, looking up at the coach with all the players, with showing us the cup down the High Street there, near the station. And I did think to myself at the time, I thought, crikey, I was only 8 years old. How was I allowed, even in those days, to be there by myself? And I was standing under the sign where Gin's for Bromley is, just under that. And when I looked at the photo more closely, to the right to that was my grandmother and her friend, Kit Russell. And they used to serve the teas down in the stand, you know, the main stand that used to be. And, yeah, I mean, that was absolutely a wonderful occasion. There was, you know, so many people, and there was walking down the High Street, all the hats were going in the air, and it was a tremendous thing for the town, apart from, you know, the football club. So that was really my first really, you know, special memory. And, of course, we had a very, very good team in those days. I believe we had almost 8 international players playing for Bromley. And, yeah, they were very successful. And, yes, on a big game, you'd have to queue from the end of where the turnstiles are, or where they used to be, almost to the end of the walkway from Hayes Lane there, to get into the ground. It was that popular. And, but, yeah, very, very good times.
What was it specifically that sort of started your love for this football club?
Well, it was when my mother, and I was only 4 years old then, brought me to the first game, and she had a season ticket in the stand, and I had to sit on her lap because I was only 4 years old then. But because she obviously took me to all the games and the away games, all over the place we went, especially in the cup games. Go up north a lot, you know, to Bishop Auckland and Pegasus. Oh, no, we did play Pegasus, but I think Pegasus was more sort of Midlandsy way. But, yeah, went everywhere with them. And one of the cup games we went up for, it snowed really badly, and the coach got stuck 2 or 3 times. I had to get out and dig the coach out so I could get to the matches. Yeah, I mean, it's it was every week we was going somewhere to watch Bromley, you know, either here or, and it was really, really good times. I got to know a lot of people over the years. There was in the stand, John Self remembered this, there's some ladies, senior ladies, called the Peter Sisters, and there was almost like a trio there with all their hats and scarves on and their blankets. And, yeah, some real, real good times in the early days.
How much has the club and Hayes Lane changed?
Oh, massively, massively. I mean, from those early days when they had, you know, very good crowds, and, of course, there wasn't much television in those days, so you always got a good attendance. But, obviously, like most clubs, as the years pass, the attendances go down, and I've been down this ground, and I think there's about 80 people in there, one of the matches, you know. But we still came, still supported, you do. And, yeah, it's how the club has gone from being very successful in the 49-50s time. And we did actually win the league in 1960, I think it was, 66. And then after that, we sort of went down a bit and down the divisions. But then gradually, as you know, gradually crawled our way back up again. And then if you advance forward, of course, to today, I mean, it's just amazing how this club has grown. It's unbelievable, really. But it is what it is, and yeah, we're enjoying every minute of it.
And how did it feel last season, obviously reaching the National League playoff semi-final, from watching Bromley at sort of one of their lowest points to then the highest they've ever finished? How was that for you?
Oh, absolutely amazing. Yeah, I mean, to think that we were struggling with that season, with injuries and what have you, and then all of a sudden we got past Christmas, and then there was a bit of light there showing, and I mean, Andy got the team together and we gradually advanced, and to reach the playoffs was tremendous. And then, yeah, we almost did it, didn't we? Almost did it. But, you know, it wasn't. But they gave everything that day. That was amazing. And everybody was so proud, although we actually, you know, didn't succeed.
You've got a good relationship with Andy Woodman, and I know he thinks highly of you. How much sort of admiration do you have for Andy since he's come into the club and sort of changed the direction in which sort of how our football's been played, and obviously the heights that we're now reaching?
Andy, for me, has done a tremendous job with the resources, I'm going to say, that he's had. The way the club is being built or going forward, obviously certain amount of the finances that go in obviously have gone into other things here, and Andy's budget hasn't been what he obviously would like to have been, and I think he's been very successful with the amount that he's been allowed, should we say, to get his squad together, and it's been a delight for everybody. I mean, obviously, I'm going to say after the disappointment of our first Wembley trophy final, and obviously Andy wasn't there then, it was Neil Smith, but then to get there 4 years later,
yeah,
I mean, that was, you know, absolutely incredible, and so pleased for him, because to me he's done a magnificent job with, as I say, the resources that he's been given.
And you touched on there, we won the FA Trophy a couple of years ago, and how was that for you to experience?
Well, amazing. I mean, Wrexham, as we all know, Wrexham, you know, a tremendous club. To the first time, as you know, or don't know, the first game we played in the National League, National League, our first game was against Wrexham, and it was obviously here at Bromley, and they brought, you know, obviously a very good supporters down here, amount of them, and you could see they was really a class side, and we went one down, and we were thinking, crikey, you know, we've got our work cut out here. But that was like, it wasn't too far into the first half, and then we began to sort of open up a bit, attacked, and it paid off. We scored an equaliser. Alex Wall got the second, I believe, and Moses Manu got the third, and this is all in the first half. It was absolutely tremendous. I was up the other, well, in the end where they were kicking into, which is now the Glen Beverley stand, and it was amazing. We haven't had an atmosphere like that here for years.
And last season, at the end of the season, you received a send off, didn't you, against Chesterfield? It was a packed crowd. It was an important game for us. That must have been a special feeling to experience before the game.
Absolutely amazing. I'm so grateful for what the football club have done for me in recognition of you know, our family connection, shall we say, with Bromley Football Club. And they pulled out all the stops. I just couldn't believe what they did for me. And it would certainly live in my memory for years to come. I was so grateful and so humbled, I can assure you, really humbled. I was Well, I was overwhelmed, I have to be honest, like, you know, but I was so grateful. It made it a very, very special day for me, which I will always treasure.
And you also entered the changing room before the game, and he let you give a bit of a talking to the players before the before kickoff. So.
We did, yeah. I was very grateful for Andy for that. And my son, who lives in America, he came over because he knew it was going to be, you know, supposedly my last game. Well, it was the last game of that, you know, that season. And to have my son there with me, it was great. We went down and had a little chat. I didn't do an Andy on them and give them advice what they should be doing. But it was nice just to introduce ourselves to them and give them, a, you know, a history of all our family connections with the club and why we was there. And, that was, you know, an experience I never ever thought would happen. I'd been invited to go down to the dressing room before the game. And it was great. I mean, I could see some of the players sort of looking up at me and so, crikey, but we know of him, but didn't realise possibly all the family connections that have been like with the football club. So it was nice to tell them all about that. And then, yeah, it was great. And to lead them out onto the pitch was, it was just a sheer delight, you know. And then to be there for the toss up, as they call it, you know. And and the way the crowd, I mean, I could hear, you know, there was only one Barry Evans, one Barry Evans. I thought, crikey, am I dreaming this, like, you know? But it was lovely. It was really nice. And there were so many people who came and spoke to me afterwards. It made it a very, very special day.
And away from the football, you're also part of our Ravens chat group, which is run by our community trust. How much has that benefited you?
Absolutely amazing. I sort of, not resisted, but I knew it was going on. But dear Roy Oliver kept saying to me, we used to, you know, stand all different parts of the ground and chat away about different things. And he kept saying to me, Barry, you should come to the Ravens chat, you know. And I thought, well, I'm not sure about that. And then he kept on, Barry, you must come, which I did. And I'm so pleased that I did, because I've enjoyed every second of it. They're such a great bunch of lads. They're all managers, of course. You know, they all we get Andy to come in sometimes and we give him all the right advice, you know. And he takes it very well. But, it's a great gathering. And you can hear the stories going about from different, you know, supporters of the times that we've all spent at Bromley.
And last week you had your leaving breakfast with the Ravens chat group, and you were joined by Mark Hammond, chief exec, Jack Holland as well, and the chairman also recorded a little video for you as well. Yeah. Just talk us through that morning.
Oh, that was absolutely brilliant. I wanted to treat the lads, shall we say, you know, to a brunch, breakfast, as a thank you for really being my friends. They're all the friends, and I thought it was a nice way to do it. And they was absolutely thrilled at it and had, you know, a good support there. And yes, unfortunately, Robin couldn't be there. He was obviously invited, but he had to, you know, pull out because of his other commitments. And but yes, he left a very touching video message for me, which I was very, very humbled by again. And the breakfast went really well. I thank Mark, because Mark sort of took it all over, because he knew, you know, Robin couldn't make it. So, but yeah, made it again another very special day for me, very special indeed.
And just to finish off, we mentioned before you're moving to Cornwall. Yes. Just talk us through your future plans.
Well, this is to do again like with family connections, why we're moving down to Cornwall. And my daughter and her partner, you know, suggested to us that we move down there with them. My sister does live in Cornwall, so I have got connections down there. And it's a massive pull for me, I can assure you. I had to really think hard about, you know, having to move away. But it's definitely the right decision, you know. We're getting on in senior age now. I'm 81 and my wife's 77. My daughter and her, you know, partner want to look after us in our final years. But I will... I can assure you, I'm not going to lose my connections with the football club. I've got a season ticket this year, although I won't be here, but I wanted to support the club. And I will be flying up a couple of times a year and we'll come and, you know, see a game and hopefully it's a good cup game or something like that, you know. So, yeah, I'm not going to be just sort of going down to Cornwall and not having anything else to do with the club. I should get up as much as I can.
Brilliant. Well, it's been a pleasure to speak to you, Barry, and I know everyone at the club, from the players, the staff, we all wish you all the best in your next adventure.
That's very kind of you. I'd like to, you know, thank all, especially Lucy. Lucy's been absolutely magnificent for me, arranging things for me. I'm a bit of a pain. I keep asking her different things. But everybody at the club has been so good, and it would be a lovely memory for me to take down to Cornwall.
Josh, brilliant to hear your little catch-up there with Barry Evans. Well, I say little, your near 20-minute conversation with him. We could do an evening with Barry Evans here, couldn't we?
Oh, we probably will.
It's going to be well attended, let me tell you. But it Josh, will, yeah. a great chat, excuse me, with Barry there, and someone who is definitely a legend of the fan base. And, yeah, must have been enjoyable, that one.
It was, yeah. And we spoke last season. We did an interview for the programme, so... Yeah, it was nice to catch up with Barry again, especially before he leaves.
Well, moving on, continuing the football theme, of course, and back to first team matters now. And we are delighted, or we were delighted, to announce the signing of Todd Miller. Todd is a 20-year-old winger who started out in the ranks of Dagenham and Redbridge at youth level before moving on to Essex rivals Colchester United, where he became the youngest player in Colchester United history. Making his debut for the first team at 16 years old and 166 days, which is absolutely incredible. And setting a record there, Todd Miller, our new signing. Like I said, he's a winger and he most recently represented Brighton and Hove Albion, where he spent 4 years in the development squad and had a loan spell at Doncaster Rovers towards the back end of the 22-23 season. And it's safe to say Andy Woodman is very excited at working at the prospect of working with Todd, and you'll hear more from him later in this podcast. But first, let's hear from the man himself.
Todd Miller, welcome to Bromley Football
Thank
Club.
You.
You've been training at Hayes Lane for a few days now since the beginning of the week. You've signed today. How does it feel to have signed?
Really good. Good to get back playing again, hopefully, and yeah, just getting back enjoying my football again.
And you've talked about the settling in period, and it seems the boys have made it quite an easy one for you to settle into here.
Yes, really good group, really good facilities. Like, everything's been good since I've come in. I've enjoyed every moment so far, so hopefully the rest of the season will be the same.
And Andy Woodman is really excited at the prospect of working with you. Is that mutual? Are you really looking forward to getting to work under Andy?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the team done really well last season, so hopefully we'll push on more this season, to be better off in the playoffs or get promotion. Really looking forward to it.
And talking about the start of your career, you actually started out in the youth ranks of one of our rivals in the National League, Dagenham Redbridge, didn't you?
Yeah, I was there for a season. Yeah, that was good. And then I went over to Colchester, played there for a few seasons, and then, yeah, went to Brighton, and now here hoping to do well and show what I can do, really.
And we were talking about your time at Colchester just off camera a minute ago. You actually became Colchester's youngest ever player at that point to start a competitive first team fixture at the age of 16. Yeah. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, it's pretty surreal. It's a lot different to playing academy football and playing in that sort of environment, but going into the men's team, I've always thrived in a harder sort of environment, so hopefully I'll bring that sort of experience from a young age playing men's football into now.
And you made the move to Brighton, where you've been for the past 4 years, isn't it? How did you assess that period at Brighton?
That was really good, really enjoyed every moment there. Different football to what I was used to coming in from Colchester, but I feel like I've adapted a lot as a player and I've changed a lot as a player, and I can bring more qualities to my game now, so I feel like I'm pretty well-rounded in most respects, but still going to try and stick to what I'm good at, just staying wide and running in behind and stuff like that, so yeah.
And you spent time as well at Doncaster Rovers towards the back end of last season. How was that?
Yeah, that was. I enjoyed it there. It was difficult sort of transitioning again from 21s football to first team football. There was a lot I had to learn, and I felt like over that period I gradually learnt more and more throughout the time that I was there, so last few games I started playing a little bit more, just because I sort of understood how football works down in the lower leagues. So, like I said, hopefully I can bring that sort of experience of last season into this season and hit the ground running this time.
And you touched on it a minute ago, but for the fans who haven't seen you play before, how would you describe yourself as a player?
Quite direct, quick, get the ball to feet, take my man on quite direct. Yeah, so anything that involves running, really.
And you've talked about how well the team did last year, so presumably looking to go one better this year as a team. And what are your goals as a player?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as a player, my goal is just to get loads of minutes this season, try and play as much as I can, test myself in loads of games and play as many consecutive games as I can, and try and build on that and be consistent in my performances. And the team goal is obviously to get promoted. And that's what we'll hopefully do.
And you've met the team, you've met the staff, now to meet the fans, and two home games coming up, so a good opportunity to do that.
Yeah, can't wait to meet everyone. Should be good, heard a lot of good things, so yeah, looking forward to meet everyone in person.
Todd, welcome to Bromley, and thanks for joining us.
Cheers, thank you.
Moving on then, Josh, we saw the return of Vanarama National League football last Saturday as we made the trip away to FC Halifax, and now it's the return of National League football at the relocated Community Stadium. Exciting times.
Yeah, very, and it's going to be a weird one considering we've had, you know, pre-season, every single game pretty much was at home, so feels like we'd never been away.
It does a little bit, actually. And they come like London buses, these home fixtures, in pre-season and in the National League. We've got not one, but two in the next few days. First of all, the visit of Barnet on Saturday, as we've mentioned. 5:30 kickoff of that one in front of the TNT Sports cameras. And then, of course, Wealdstone are the visitors here to the relocated Community Stadium on Tuesday, the 15th of August. Kickoff, 7:45 p.m. for that one. So do join us for those. Now, on the Barnet game, it is, of course, the first home game of the National League season, and it's against a side who did very well, much like Bromley last year, finishing in the playoff positions. They went out in the eliminators, actually, at the hands of local rivals Boreham Wood, who progressed to the semi-finals and eventually lost out to Notts County, the eventual winners. But they'll be looking to go one better this season, that's for sure. And they've started life in the 23-24 National League very well, with an impressive 3-2 victory at the Hive against Hartlepool United last week. They were 3-0 up at one point. Hartlepool United had a bit of a late comeback, scoring two goals in the final 10 minutes, and of course a long period of injury time, no doubt. But they held on for the 3 points to make it a good start to life this season for Dean Brennan's side. They are the first visitors to the relocated Community Stadium this season, and we're very much looking forward to it. As mentioned earlier, in front of the TV cameras, what a way to kick off the home campaign in the National League. We've got a lot going on that day. Of course, as mentioned in Community Corner, we've got our various community activities, including our soccer schools going on. We're then showing the Lionesses match against Australia in Broomfield's kickoff, 11:30. Come along and join us for that one. Fingers crossed for a good result for the Lionesses, which times itself well. Happy hour from 12 till 1 in Broomfield's. And we're also showing on our alternate screens Arsenal versus Notts Forest at 12:30. So two football games for the price of one. Three if you want to throw in the Bromley game to that as well, of course. Do join us for that one. Tickets available at bromleyfc.co.uk. Come on down and be a part of it at the Relocatum Community Stadium. Very, very exciting times ahead. Continuing the first team theme, we caught up with the man who we try and get on this podcast, and he absolutely loves it. And he'll tell you that he loves it, and he does love it. He comes in here and he just opens up and relaxes. It is, of course, the gaffer, Andy Woodman, if I can get my words out there. And it's always a pleasure to sit down here and chat with him. And here's this week's instalment of Andy's interview.
Bromley's answer to Ant and Dec.
Never been called that before. I like that.
It's more like Dick and Dom, isn't it?
Yeah, I know which one I am.
Right. Andy, how's the week been? How's the lads feeling?
Yeah, been good. Obviously, no one likes losing the first game of the season. No one likes losing, period. But the lads have been good in spirits. Yeah, we've been working well this week. We've been able to get some work done this week. You know, we haven't got everyone back, but we've certainly got more bodies back and a bit more of a working group to be working with. So that's been a plus.
And we won't mention it too much, but obviously Saturday was a bit disappointing. Now you've had time to reflect on it, what are your thoughts?
I actually thought we didn't do bad, to be honest. I hate saying that when we've just got beat 2-0. But I actually didn't think we'd done too badly. We just made a couple of errors, and they wouldn't be glaring errors, but they pulled us out of position and capitalised on it. Looking at all the stats, and I know stats can show you all sorts of different... You can look at it all different sorts of ways. You know, we should have lost that game, looking at the stats that I got back from the match and the XG on goals for and goals against. We shouldn't have lost that match. And I felt like that. But it always sounds like it's sour grapes when you say it after you've just got beat 2-0. So I'm always conscious of people back home thinking, oh, yeah, of course you shouldn't have lost it. But, you know, we made a couple of errors and the most important stat is the one that goes in the back of the net. So we have to learn from that and move forward quickly.
And away from our game, a certain Callum Fisher was on the bench for Norwich City in the Championship. That must have filled you with immense pride.
Well, I think I've said numerous times on it, Callum will go on and be a very good player. I think he'll play definitely Championship football and I think he could probably end up playing Premiership football. I really believe that. So, yeah, that was good to hear that, Callum. It wasn't sort of first and foremost in my thoughts, though, when we got beat. But I do wish Callum all the best and I look out for... Weirdly enough, I look out for all the players I've worked with. You know, and I can't tell you how many players I look out for on a Saturday and a Sunday morning to see if they've played and how they've done. And that's right across the board. You know, even some goalkeepers I work with in Newcastle and Palace, I even look at them and outfield players at Arsenal. So I like to see them all do well. And it was great for Callum, you know, to be involved so early on in his transition from Bromley to Championship. It's amazing.
We welcome Barnet to Hayes Lane this coming Saturday in front of the TV cameras. They had a good start to National League life for this season, beating Hartlepool 3-2 last week. And as you always say, and we always say, there are no easy games in this league. And it's a side that did well last year that, similar to us, are going to look to do one better.
Yeah, Barnet are a good setup, good club. And I don't think we should lose sight of they've been a league club, so they're run properly. It'd be a tough game. I say about most games, but this, you know, they're a big, powerful team with men all over the pitch. So, I'm expecting a real tough game. I don't think this is by any means an easy game. Let me make that clear. And they've added a few players to their squad as well, which has strengthened them. So, it'd be a tough game, and we'll have to be on it. We know they always come here. It's funny, certain teams come here and they seem to sort of really look forward to playing us. Barnet, I always feel, one of them. So we need to be resolute and we need to be dogged at times and we need to make sure we stick to our game plan. So I'm looking forward to it. It'd be nice to have a camera crew here as well, which is always nice.
And you said it the other day, there was the little stat that we haven't won on the opening day since 2015. However, last year, of course, we lost on the opening day and then went on a really good run after that. And presumably that's what we're looking to do again this season now.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're a work in progress at the moment. I think... we must sort of be realistic in the respect of, you know, we've got a new goalkeeper. We've got three out of the back four or five we had last year of new. So there's work to be done in that and everyone needs to get a little bit of belief and confidence in each other. But that said, you know, it's the same for a few other teams as well. So we need to... For me, we need to start looking solid at the back. Keeping clean sheets is what I'm always on about, because I always feel we're great at the other end. We need to start sort of putting ourselves in a position where we're looking like we're going to get some points on the board. I don't think we should start panicking just yet. We're only one game in. But certainly, you know, everyone wants to get their first win or their first points on the board, and we're no different.
We had a lot of pre-season home games, as you're very well aware of. But with the TV cameras coming into town, does that affect how the players feel about the game, or is it just business as usual?
I think it must affect them. I remember myself when the TV, I used to be right up for the game. And looking at some of the haircuts I've seen today, I think one or two have got their mind on the TV as well. I think it's nice. I think it's why we do it. You know, we're in the entertainment business and I think it's nice for players to play in front of a camera and obviously for their families to be watching. And they'll all be aware that their families and friends and people are watching them at home. So I think it's great. And as a player myself, I used to always really play well on TV. Funny enough, it used to be sort of like used to raise my game a little bit. So I'm hoping that happens to a few of our boys this weekend.
And not only the TV cameras will be there, but hopefully a packed out Hayes Lane as well. It's our first home game of the season. How much are you looking forward to being back out?
I actually think that's more important than the TV cameras for me. To have this place bouncing with the support we had. And we had a lot of support last year, towards the back end particularly. I always think that can be the difference. And now we've got the little singing squad behind the goal, who I love. I find myself listening to them and watching them, and they're brilliant. And they went away the weekend, which was great. So that's really good. That's growing. But yeah, I think it's so important to have Hayes Lane, you know, packed out. I think just the energy around the place, it can only help us. And I, you know, if it's a war cry from me, from people to come down Saturday, come down. It's going to be a nice day weather-wise, and come down and watch us play and hopefully get a good result.
And then we're back in action on Tuesday night against Willstone. How do you assess them so far?
Well, it's early doors, Willstone. They always seem to play a nice, attractive football. I think if you catch them on their day, they can hurt you, for sure. But, you know, I think on our day, we can hurt teams. So, again, the margins are going to be close. They're going to be close in most of the games. I'm going to say that a lot probably this season, like I did last year. I think we've got to really make sure that we have our own identity. And I remember last year reading some newspaper clippings and hearing interviews of other managers sort of talking about my team and what to expect. And that's what I prefer to do, and I prefer to happen. Teams talk about my team, what they're going to expect. Powerful, rugged, dogged team that doesn't give up, that plays good football in the right areas. So with respect to Willstone, we know what they're about. We know how they'll go about their business. And we've got to make sure that we really make sure we sort of implement our game on them.
We spoke to Scott Wagstaff on the podcast earlier on. It's brilliant to have him back. I can see you're smiling now. But just for these young players as well, to have the likes of Luke Coulson and Scott Wagstaff, established professional footballers, it's a brilliant opportunity.
100%. I mean, look, I smiled because Waggy was a young YTS player at Charlton when I was a coach there. So we give him his debut at Alan Pardew was a manager, I was a coach. We give him his debut at Charlton. So when you said about the young players, Waggy was one of those young players just like yesterday in my head. So he's been through the journey. He'll know the journey, the good, the bad, and the ups and downs, etc. So I think it's brilliant that we've got players like Waggy and Luke coaching in our academy, and helping these boys through their journey. It's something I'm big on. You know, it's almost like paying it forward. I always done that as a goalkeeper. If I had a younger goalkeeper who was trying to take my shirt, I made a point of trying to help him, regardless if he was trying to take my shirt, because you have to pay it forward. And I say the same to my own son. Make sure you help the guy underneath you. You're in competition, of course, but you have to pay it forward to the younger players. And we've got two really good, you know, coaches there that have been through the process, and they'll be paying it forward to the next generation of players, which is brilliant.
And when there were players working under you, wherever it was, here or elsewhere, did you see them being coaches in the future?
That's a really good question. Luke, I could, yeah, because I think he was a bit of a student of the game, Luke. He'd watch and he'd talk about it and he'd study, excuse me. Waggy, probably not, because I had him at a younger age, so I couldn't have seen that probably then. But when he come back here, I could see Waggy, you know, trying to help the younger players as well. So, yeah, I think it's a natural progression for both of them. And I think we're really blessed to have both those young coaches, stroke fresh out of playing, you know, players in our club.
There's been some more good news on the player front this week with the arrival of Todd Miller. Can you tell us a bit about Todd?
Yeah, Todd's a player I've seen many times when I've been down at Brighton watching various games, and he's always caught my eye. He's always been a player I didn't think we'd ever have a chance of getting, to be honest, when he was there and trying to get one loan. Anyway, he's come up here and trained, and he's been available, and it's been quite a simple process with his agent, who's been brilliant. He's quick, he's direct, and he puts the ball in the box. So everything that I want from my wide players, you know, quick, direct, put it in a box, no frills, no no sort of like mystery, which then will help our strikers. So I'm delighted to have him on board. We're going to have to give him a little bit of time because he's, you know, he's not done a proper pre-season. So we're going to have to be mindful of making sure we work with him in the right way, in the right manner. But he is an exciting player and he's exactly what we need, pace in the team. He's got pace, energy, legs. He actually reminds me, and I don't want to tempt any fate here, but he reminds me of Bridgie a little bit, probably a little bit more of a direct Bridgie. Yeah, I'm excited about him. I just think we've got to be mindful again that this is a player that hasn't had a pre-season properly like us. So we can't expect miracles straight away, although I will expect them. he's an exciting player and great to have on board for us.
Andy, it's always a pleasure to catch up. Thank you so much for your time and we look forward to Saturday's game.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Moving on then, as mentioned, we entertain Wildstone at the Relocatum Community Stadium on Tuesday, 7:45 kickoff. Happy hour is from 5 till 6 that night, and we'll also be showing Portsmouth versus Exeter on our screens. Now, a little bit of AOB before we finish, Josh. We've had a lot going on this week. We had Lucas, a Brazilian supporter, who, of course, had travelled over to London from Brazil for a few days, had to get in a visit to the Relocatum Community Stadium. It was great to meet Lucas and welcome him. He bought a new home shirt, which he was really pleased with, and posted pictures outside on the pitch with it, which was lovely to see as well. And we know Lucas will be following our fortunes from afar as he is now back in Brazil today. Had to get that visit in just before he left. A reminder to all of you, we've got a brilliant offer in our exec club where it's just £40 per person for all of our fixtures in August and £20 for children as well per person. Do join us for those exec clubs. They're an absolutely fantastic experience. You will not get one elsewhere, anywhere like it. It's absolutely brilliant and it's certainly worth a try if you haven't done it before. Great atmosphere as well, I must add. And of course, benefiting from some brilliant food, some brilliant ambience, and of course, interviews and stuff like that as well. Sometimes facilitated by yours truly, which, yeah.
Is always a bonus.
Well, I'm not sure about that. It actually might drive people out. I'm not sure. Maybe I shouldn't have said that because now it might put people off. Hopefully it doesn't. We've also got some big news on the kit front. Sorry. Home and away kits are back on sale now and you can order those online. Visit the website bromleyfc.co.uk for more information on that, Josh.
We also have ticket news for our upcoming game against Rochdale, which has been moved obviously to the Friday night. It was going to be Saturday the 26th of August. Now it's going to be the 25th of August. 7:45 kickoff. If, you know, it's a long way to go. If you don't fancy trekking all the way up to Rochdale, we will be showing the game in Broomfield. So get yourself down to our bar and kitchen and, you know, enjoy the comforts of Broomfields while watching the game and supporting the boys from the home of Bromley Football Club.
That's right.
We've also got another game this weekend and tomorrow night. That is our under-21s. They're back in action. It's their first league game of the season. They're playing Hartley Whitney at 7:45. And obviously, Jamel's taking the team now, isn't he?
So that's right.
But it'll be his first competitive game. And yeah, should be good.
Good luck to Jamel and the team. There is so much talent in that under-21s team and throughout the academy as well. And no doubt, some of the players that you are watching in the under-21s now will be featuring in the first team this season, if not next season. But there is a lot of talent in there and it's certainly worth coming down and watching if you can. I think that's it, Josh. I think we've covered everything.
That's it.
It's been another busy episode. Thank you to all of our guests. Thank you to all of you for tuning in. Josh, thank you for joining me as always. Do join us at the Relocatum Community Stadium on Saturday as we take on Barnet and, of course, on Tuesday as we welcome Wildstone. Tickets available on the website bromleyfc.co.uk. We hope to see you there and we'll be back with you on Ravens Weekly next week. Take care. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for